Checking the mic. Okay, it looks like it's working. Anybody listening to this recording? Just hang tight for about 10 minutes or so. Start skipping ahead until you hear me speaking. I'm just going to get things reshared out on Twitter and stuff like that. So, yeah, just hang tight.
Okay, I'll be getting started in another 5 minutes. Just plugged in my headset, so checking that. Okay, we're getting just started. We'll get started here momentarily. Just checking one thing. It's just that. Here, get that opened. See. So, if you're listening to the recording, like I said, get started about now. Hopefully, you've skipped ahead and not listened to silence. The first thing, I have two things I'll share on here today. One is about ransomware cases. One's about, entry level entering of cybersecurity. But I want to first just quickly talk about the eternal thing yesterday, if nobody's familiar with it. So yesterday or yesterday morning, I think Eastern time, people noticed that there was a fake Eternal Wallet Twitter account, and they were trying to I guess it was technically spear phishing, because phishing is trying to convince somebody to do something. Spear phishing is directly targeted at a person or a group, right? So I guess they were technically spear phishing, where they're attempting to target anyone using Eternal Wallet. So what they did is they had a fake Eternal Wallet Twitter account, and a lot of times what people are doing is just they just change one little character or something like that in the name to try to hope that you'll just overlook that and follow that thing they're trying to get you to go to. Maybe they'll change and add an extra letter, or change an N to an M, or something just to slightly obscure it. So what these people did was, so on Twitter, your Twitter handle, you can have capital letters or lowercase letters. So a lowercase L looks just like an uppercase I, right? Because I guess of the font they use. I think there's other fonts that will make it more obvious, but anyway, that's what they did. So when you saw the Eternal Wallet name, it looked just like the real Eternal Wallet, because that uppercase I and that lowercase L looked exactly the same. So if you went to it, you went to their tweet, they were saying that they had an, I think they had an update to the software, and to follow a link to test it out, and it was called eternalbeta.io, which is obviously malicious. Do not, please do not go to that. But anyway, so whatever they're doing on eternalbeta.io would definitely be malicious, surely. I just don't know exactly what they're doing yet. But anyway, that's what I've been talking about a lot, whereas you could do the things that you could do to protect yourself, just increase your security a little bit more, where don't just quickly click on something. If you see that, just double check what you are looking at. Go search, Eternal Wallet themselves. Make sure you're already following. You should be, if you're using Eternal Wallet, you should probably be following their Twitter account, so you would easily notice that, the malicious one that looks real, you notice you're not following them, right? If you're not sure about it, you're not confident, check with other people in the community, or go to the source directly. Like if you're following Eternal, or go to their Discord or something like that, right? Or just open the extension itself, or go check your browser, see if there's an update. There's little things you can do instead of just clicking on that thing that you happen just to see right away, right? So little things like that can go a long way into helping you avoid getting compromised by a bad actor. So yeah, I think that about sums that up. I made a tweet on it and stuff too, and then report those accounts too once you start seeing people notice that it's spent, malicious if you haven't noticed already. Also, yeah, definitely report them. Yeah, I think that about covers it. Hello, Eddie. Thanks for joining, man. Would you like to hop up? I haven't, I didn't. I was not effective in messaging out this Twitter space this week, so it's kind of ad hoc, and I'm just kind of going through things that. Anyway, basically, I just have these spaces where I just talk about different topics. Oh yeah, I see you requested. Yeah, and different topics, and it's kind of just an open platform if people want to hop in and talk about anything or ask anything. I typically have a few people join every time, which is good. Yeah. All right, Eddie, you're up here, I believe.
Sure, hello. Good morning or good afternoon.
Yeah, you as well. Yeah.
Yeah,
How's it going?
doing all right. What's today's topic about?
Yeah, so I don't know if you heard before I invited you up, right? Are you familiar with my project at all?
Actually, I am not. I was planning to hop in
Okay.
to maybe learn more or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'll give you the scoop. And I'm sorry if you hear feedback. I'm using my headset today, and a lot of times it likes to cause feedback for some reason.
It sounds good.
Yeah, so I'll just make sure I mute when you're talking. But yeah, no, just for a quick spiel. Basically, what I'm doing every week for the next 1 year, I had a Fund 9 approved project in Catalyst, where basically I got funded to give free cybersecurity advice to the community, individuals, or teams, right? So what I do in lieu of meetings is I'll host Twitter spaces. So I have like four or five of them a week, and they're just kind of open platforms. I'll have a topic to share just to fill the dead air and give people something tangible and useful to think about. But if people hop in and want to have conversations, we could do that instead. So that happens a lot. Usually I have a few different people join each time, and we just talk about whatever topics they want to talk about, or I go on with my topic. And I'm not sure I'll ever expect to get hundreds or thousands of people in here, but if I protect a few people, if I just help a few people improve their safety every week, then I feel like I'm doing my job here. But I have a very extensive cybersecurity background, 13 years in it, and stuff like that. So that's kind of the premise of it, right? So, like for example, next week I have a bunch of meetings with teams and individuals, so I won't be doing Twitter Spaces next week. That probably will rarely happen. It'll probably be at least a few Twitter Spaces every week. But anyway, that's the overall premise, right? So this week, my main account hopped out of here. Give me 1 second here. Yeah, so this week, I'm just going over different top, the two different topics I'm talking about is kind of walking through my experiences working in forensics and ransomware cases. I've had a few people join this week listening in on that because they were really interested in kind of what that looks like, right? And then my other topic is just giving some advice on getting into cybersecurity. So if that doesn't interest you or something and you're hanging around, I mean, you can hang around. And that's the whole thing about these spaces, right? People can just hop in and ask what they want to and then leave, right? So yeah, however you want to do it. But those are the two topics I'll talk about if there's nothing else to talk about. But
I'm like very interested in that. When I was in university, I was trying to help this startup cybersecurity project, and their thing was like doing automated threat hunting for, I think it's called like 0-day exploits and stuff like that. So like just trying to learn more and just like in general, like it's always good to have like your defenses up and make sure you're up to date with everything, make sure like all your software is up to date, because especially in this space, you know that if there's any weak links or anything, any backdoors, like people are going to try to exploit them. And at the end of the day, it's all about keeping your stuff safe and making sure that like your friends and family and everybody is as safe as well.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. Yeah, and before I reply to that, right? So another thing, don't you know when I only have a few people joining spaces, they are not ever wasted either. I do watch analytics, and a lot of people do go back and re-listen to the content and pull information out of it. I get messages about it and so forth. So, you know, everybody thinks there needs to be thousands of people in a Twitter space to be effective, and that's just not the case, right? Just a couple of people talking can help other people out, right? And but yeah, but to your point, yeah, just general, yeah, a lot of what I'm doing is just kind of awareness, right? And telling people these common things to do, like you know, talking about how to, you know, things to look out for. I don't know if you saw that Eternal Wallet thing going on yesterday, right? Where the malicious or bad actor, you know, I just refer to them as bad actors, right? But they had a an Eternal Wallet Twitter account, and it looked to be spelled exactly like the real Twitter Eternal Wallet account, right? The only difference is one of the L's in wallet was an I, right? So an uppercase I and a lowercase L look the exact same on the surface of it, right? But if you start typing in the name to search for Eternal Wallet, then you know, I put that out there, like that's how you'll notice the difference, right? So yeah, I always tell people to, you know, when they see anything, don't just quickly don't just click on something, right? It's as simple as don't click on links, right? I tell them, you know, you got to go to the source. If you see somebody talking about something for a project, go find the project sources first. Find their social media accounts, review how they're communicating with, or how often they've communicated with the community, or you know, how new is their Twitter account, or you know, do they have information out there on Linktree for their different sites, or things like that, right? Start finding correlating information to build your trust that that thing is a safe thing to do. You know, a lot of people are very quick to jump on something because they don't want to miss that opportunity. You know, as cliche as it sounds, you know, I'd rather miss 9 out of every 10 opportunities versus getting compromised that 1 out of 100 times, right? It only takes one time to get compromised and to, you know, really drastically negatively impact you, right? So, I'm okay missing t opportunities. I've missed tons of opportunities, but because of that, I have, you know, I also feel like I have not been compromised because of that, right? So I always tell people to do that. You know, and then always, you know, there's tools out there that people can use to help themselves as well. VirusTotal, Eddie, because you've talked to people and doing startup, you might be familiar with some of this stuff already. But VirusTotal, right? I can go in there and check a file or check a URL against a hash of it, or you know, just put in that URL or file, and it'll report back, you know, whether it's safe or not. And then it also reports back on, I think, up to like 100 different security vendors and their analysis of that website or URL, right? So VirusTotal is a very easy thing to go check. Google, I think it's transparencyreport.google.com, but you could just search Google's website checker. Google has a website checker. Securi, Suri. That's a security vendor. McAfee has one. It's called Site Check. No, it's I can't think of the name of it right now. But anyway, you just Google, you know, website checker, and you'll just find a ton of different options. If people want to get more complex and looking at DNS records and the details of the domain name and stuff, you could go to something like MX Toolbox. MX Toolbox is a very commonly used one for people with a little bit more knowledge, right? Or if you get an email and you're like, I'm not really sure who that is, or you know, I think I know who that is, but I want to make sure it's safe. You know, you could go to Microsoft and Google. Both have an email header analyzer. So if you know how to find the email headers, which is very easy, you just Google it. But in Gmail or O365, you can easily get the email header, and it'll show you, it'll trace out the path of where that email came from, you know, the originating source. And if you want to get a little more in depth and detailed, you can do something like that to even further advance, you know, how effective you are at researching things, right? So things like that, man. There, you know, I wrote a document or an article. It's on my website. You know, that's my plan too, Eddie. Like, I'm doing a lot of different documentation over time too, so that people don't have to go back and listen to all these Twitter spaces. Everything I talk about, I'm putting in documentation. So I put my first one up on, so on epochsec.io. But I also made a Gitbook page if it's easier for people to read. I think it's just gitbook.epochsec.io, or it's epochsec.gitbook.io. Yeah. But it's on both of those sites, right? But yeah, that was just a long reply to your point. But and then your point also about Git threat hunting, automated threat hunting, and doing those startups. Yeah, I think I had a comment on that, but now I don't even remember because I rambled on so much about the other point.
No, you're
Hey,
good.
nerd.
Those are like amazing tools, and I actually have not like heard of them. So this is like very cool, like VirusTotal and Sicuri. Wow, these are awesome. So like you could just like copy and paste like a URL, and they'll come back with what is it, something that'll be like safe or like not safe, or they come back with iffy or like something like that.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right. Yeah, it'll, yeah, basically three different levels, right? Not safe, iffy, or good, right? So yeah, no, that's exactly what they do. And VirusTotal is a great one to easily start out with. You can actually upload a file on there and it'll analyze it, right? But one thing I always do, like if you're using, you could do it on Windows too, but on Linux, there's two easy commands for MD5 and SHA-256, which are the hash values of a file, right? Hash value, that is a much complicated, more complicated conversation because, hash values are not truly like a super safe way to guarantee something, but the purpose of a hash value is I can upload a file to my website, which I need to add the hash value of my last document. But what I can do is upload my document, right? And say, here's the hash value of it. And then you can download that file. And you can, if you're on Linux or Windows, you can look up the MD5 or the SHA-256 hash of that file that you've downloaded. And you can verify it with the hash value I put on my website just to make sure that somehow, no, nobody compromised with my website and uploaded a malicious document or something like that, right? So, but yeah, VirusTotal is a great one. MX Toolbox is a great one. Sicuri, Google has their stuff. Microsoft has helpful stuff. But yeah, I have a document, Eddie. If you go to my website, you can read through that, and it'll mention a lot of those things. But here this weekend, today probably, I'm also going to write like a little PowerPoint thing that specifically pulls out those website suggestions or those things you use to check, and I'll put them in a much more easier to read format. But yeah, what else might I add about that? Actually, there's just so much to. Let's see here.
I guess
Give me just go ahead.
in the crypto community, do you think it's more like people get DMs with like links and stuff where it's gonna be where most of the stuff, or I don't want to say the majority, but would it be like LinkedIn or not LinkedIn, just like social media DMs or emails? Do you think people will run into these bad actors more often, or is it
Or is it
just
just
beware all the time because they could hit you from any aspect, like any different like perspective? It could be DMs or just a fake website or text message. Like, what's your experience with that?
yeah, man, that's a great question. So you know, going back to my first week of Twitter Spaces at the beginning of November, that was kind of one of my big topics, right? And the overarching message, really, first of all, is, we're all in Web3, we're all doing blockchain stuff, we all have our crypto wallets, we're all making crypto transactions, buying NFTs or using a dApp or something, right? But in reality, 95% of what we're doing, all 94, nine, basically 95% of all of our interactions are still Web 2-ish, things, right? And it's easy for people to forget that when they're doing something in their crypto wallet, thinking, oh, I'm in the Web 3 world. No, you are not. You're pretty much still just in the Web 2 world. Just there's a wallet with a connection to the blockchain, right? Other than that, everything, you're still using web browsers, you're still using email, you're still using social media, you're still using your laptop, all of these things, right? So they're all still the all the things we've dealt with over the last 20 years are still the same things you're doing. Therefore, all of the same attack methods and attack vectors are still very prevalent, right? Like, and you kind of alluded to it, right? All the social engineering, right? Getting a message saying, hey, man, I need help out with this thing. And, some people, most people are just very obvious, like, obviously bad at it. So it's easy to spot them, right? When they're malicious. But, some people will be very clever about it, and they'll just say, hey man, hey, I saw you in this Discord, I had a question for you. Then they'll just have a conversation, and then maybe they'll stop, and the next day they'll say, hey, I know I talked to you yesterday, hey, can you check out this link? And then you just, subconsciously, not even thinking about it, click on that link, and it leads you to something else, right? I always tell people to watch out for hyperlinks, right? I can create a link to something and change the text of it. Like, I had an example of it where I had like epochsec.io, where it'll look like that, but really the URL is leading you to Gitbook. That's not malicious, right? But I'm just a point that I can easily change the text of that hyperlink to say whatever I want, right? Or you're right, people will just DM you, or with their little story, or they'll try to spear phish you, right? Like that Eternal Wallet thing was technically a spear phishing attack, because they're trying to phish you to click on this eternalbeta.io link that's malicious, and they're specifically targeting people using Eternal, right? So that's a spear phishing attack. But yeah, they'll just try a lot of what they'll try to do a lot of the times is create a website or a Discord server or a Twitter account or a Telegram group that looks very similar to the real thing, and they'll just try to obscure one little thing about it, hoping you don't actually notice that, right? So I had an example I shared one time before of something that I experienced, right? I was in an NFT, a Cardano NFT Discord chat, right? And I won't say who it was, because the owner of it is just a wonderful person and just a really good person. But their moderators, I did not have trust in. Because so what happened was, I got a DM from somebody on Discord, and it said some there. It was a very just casual conversation. A person said, "Hey, Holy, I had this question for you, and just trying to start a conversation, right?" Didn't actually give me anything malicious to click on yet or anything, but I didn't want to wait to that point, right? So I said, well, that's kind of weird. I don't know who this person is. So let me do my correlation, right? Let me find things to build trust in this person before I respond to them. So I looked at their account. The first thing I noticed was they were new to Discord, right? Being Discord users will show new to Discord for like a certain period of time, the first week or something like that, right? So, okay, that's weird. So I looked at the who we share, what Discord channels or Discord servers do we share together, right? Because you could click on their profile and it'll say, which mutual servers do you share? Well, we didn't, we only shared one, right? And the thing is, I'm in like 60 or 70 Discords. I'm like, it's very odd when someone messages me in Cardano and we don't share more than one Discord together. I said, well, okay, well, that's a little suspicious. Let me go to that Discord server and look them up. So I went to the Discord server. I looked up their name. I noticed they had said nothing in that Discord at all, right? I was, okay, that's a little weird too. So I tried messaging them in the Discord, and I gave them a few hours. And this was right when they messaged me. So I gave them a few hours, and they never responded in the Discord. So I've got like four things at this point, and I think there was one other fifth thing I'd found that was a little odd, right? So none of these things by themselves were malicious or bad, right? But all of them together started painting a picture like this could be malicious. So I told the moderators, I messaged them, I said, yeah, I told them all these things. They said, well, the person hasn't actually done anything malicious yet, so we can't ban them, we can't block them. And long story short, I just, I vehemently disagreed with that. I had correlating information, and I'm like, I don't want them to wait for a bad thing to happen. We don't need to be reactive. We need to be proactive, right? So that's just a long drawn out simple story on one of my experiences on something, things that people should practice, right? I don't know if I answered your question.
No, I think you did a little bit. So like the it was like I think the DMs I think you're right. I think for me in my experience, that's where I see the majority of these opportunities for these bad actors to get their victims. But it's not just like the DMs too, and then you have like the YouTube ads back in the day. I haven't seen them recently, but it was like, hey, like send like 1,000 ADA here and we'll give you 2,000 ADA right back. And they'll use either like Charles's face or CZ or Elon Musk or someone with authority, and they could scam you that way. Or there's just so many different ways they're getting creative, and it's like they think of something new, and then the good people try to like thwart that, but there's always something new popping up each and every day. So it's scary because
Yeah.
it just like doesn't stop.
Yeah, that's and you're dead right, right? Like, and that's why as mundane and boring as it might sound in talking about security topics for the average person, like every week for the next year, but the awareness, right? You're right, because the average person isn't going to continuously actively think about this. Like, that's why I feel like just doing this and building that awareness, just talking about it incessantly, will help this stick in people's minds, right? It's easy for people to forget and just rat be make rash decisions. But also, there's a mantra that I follow from my military background: trust but verify, right? Say, okay, I mean, I'm going to trust you that you probably are who you are, but I'm going to verify it, right? I'm going to go look at your Twitter account. Have you been around for a while? Do you talk in the community? Do I, one thing like the eternal wallet thing, right? That would be an easy thing. On like what you're saying, people could easily just click on that because it looked exactly like eternal wallet. People would say, oh, they have an eternal beta.io website. I'm going to click on it, But I mean, an easy thing. The thing is, the odds are that you're following the real Eternal account if you're using Eternal. There's probably a good chance, right? So that's an easy thing to do. Just notice if you're following them or not. But yeah, I mean, it's just the easiest thing to do is just to have the mindset of never click on a link. Go, just don't do it, right? Go to the source. Find if Bob tells you about abc.com, go to the source, right? I mean, I don't even trust links from my best friend, right? Not that I don't trust my best friend, but I don't know for sure that he wasn't compromised, right? Or he wasn't phished or socially engineered without him knowing it, right? So I just, again, back to what I said earlier, right? Like, it's important for people to have the mentality of don't worry about missing 9 out of 10 opportunities. It's much more important to not get compromised that 1 out of 100 times, right? If you're safe 99 times, but you get compromised once, then the other 99 times don't matter anymore. But
So,
yeah, you're go ahead.
sorry, what would you say the best way to check that is? It's like, don't click the link, but what? Go to the official website to see if there's something. Check like the Discord, the official one, or try to check the official Twitter to see if they have like the same announcements. Is that what you would recommend, or anything
Yeah.
different?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'd recommend. But even further, I'd recommend checking multiple things, right? Again, right, building that correlation, because they could easily have a Discord server with a bunch of bots in it that might, if you just quickly look at it, it might look real. But then you go to their Twitter account and you notice, they just had a Twitter account yesterday started up, right? And somehow they have 50,000 followers, But yeah, I just check multiple things. If I'm already familiar with who they are, then I'll go to their official website, or I'll, I'm not going to take a link to their website. I'm going to go find it on my own, or I might just in Discord or Telegram or Twitter or wherever, whatever social media platform you're using, just ask if you get to the point where you've done those things and you're still not you didn't really build that 100% confidence, just ask some reputable people that you might know in the space, right? No, I'm not, I'm not, nothing's, it's not beneath me to ask somebody else if they know about it, right? Yeah, it's just, yeah, I mean, it none of and even none of that is foolproof, right? But it is a lot more safe than just finding that, you just get that DM or that you see that Twitter message and the first thing you do is click something, right? That should never be the first thing you do. But
Yeah, it just
yeah.
like so subtly increases the odds that it's like reputable. Like it's doesn't make it 100%, but it's like checking different sources and one on top of the other is like, all right, there's a 20% chance like this is real. All right, you check something else. Okay, it's like 33, 40%, 50%, and just like checking the different sources and be like, okay, yeah, now I feel safe that like what they're saying is true. And then just using one of those official sites or official social medias to then either click the link or use the download. But yeah, as you said, like go to the source.
Yeah, and you took, I mean, you said it perfectly right. Like it's the it, you know, the more accurate way to describe this method is, you're right. It's just increasing your odds. Nothing is guaranteed, right? Like being in forensics and working in incident response cases, I've learned a very like I've learned to never say anything is 100% guaranteed, right? For one, I'll get subpoenaed in court. Yeah, I mean, it goes with the same mentality, like in the cybersecurity professional space, right? We always talk about layered security, right? Your host antivirus alone is not going to guarantee anything, but you add a network. You may have a host IPS, but you have a network IPS as well, and then you also proxy your web traffic, and you also have various firewalls, and then but you're also managing your domain administrator accounts appropriately. It's not, it's not just one thing that will ensure your safety. It's doing all of these things, layered security, doing multiple things to, you're right, like increase your odds of being safe. Abderman, I know you've been on here for a little bit. I'm not sure I'm familiar with who you are, but you are welcome to request to hop up if you have anything to bring up or ask or anything. Eddie and I are just having a conversation here. But
Did you
what
get into
else?
how you started cybersecurity?
No, actually I didn't. I'll talk about that. My story is very, I got into cybersecurity simply because, I was active duty military. I got out, I went back into the reserves, then I got deployed to Iraq, and I met some people over there already in the security space. I kind of just had casual conversations with them, like, hey, I do have some IT knowledge, I'd be interested. We all then, long story short, we all get back from deployment, and a couple of months later, one of them reach out to me, saying, hey, I have an entry level job for you, would you be interested? So, I packed my bags and moved out to Missouri and started my security career. So it was, basically knowing somebody. But I tell a lot of people though, when you're trying to get into cybersecurity, look for that entry level job, right? That guy, that person that's going to be there, clicking buttons for people. You know, if Bob or Nancy says, "Hey, I've done this threat hunting research, or I've noticed these event correlation rules coming in, or you know, or this thing's being blocked that shouldn't be. I need you to put a rule in the firewall policy or in the AV policy or whatever it is, right?" And you're really just that person managing the policies and doing things based on, you know, other people's research and stuff like that. And you know, those role, if you're looking for roles like that, they're generally going to be labeled security analyst, security technician, or something like that. And that's how I started out, right? So I started out doing that for the federal government. And then through that, then I went into, you know, I got hired by a company to consult for them where they were divesting from their parent company and they were building their own environment. So I came in and I kind of helped lead and help them design and build out all of their security architecture for their new environment. Yeah, so one second here. Yeah, and then you know, and then beyond that, you know, I had gotten some consulting experience working for one company, and then I got hired onto a major security vendor consulting for them. So, you know, in the last 7, 8 years, I've had the chances of working with all kinds of different businesses that you can imagine, right? Any enterprise business out there, I'm sure that I have worked with that company, right? And seen that field. So consulting is actually really cool and a lot of fun because I get to see all of the ways that everybody does things, right? So I get a lot of experience by default of just doing my regular job. And then the last few years I've been running a team of consultants. So I manage the consultants now, and they you know, then you know what I do is I talk to a lot of these enterprise customers now before my consultants go to them, and I kind of help them plan things out. How long will it take? What exactly are we going to do? How will they do it and stuff like that. So, you know, I started out as a basic analyst clicking buttons. I moved into working for a specific company doing a specific thing, and then I moved into consulting. But there are a lot of fields in there are a lot of different paths that people could take in in the cybersecurity world, right? You could specifically focus on networking. You can focus on software development engineering, right? We need somebody to code this stuff. There's also the risk analysis. And then you have auditing, right? Auditing and compliance is a huge field. To some people, auditing and compliance might sound very boring, right? To some people, it's a very rewarding job. And everybody has to have compliance and auditing, right? That will never go away as long as the internet is here. Then you have people that strictly do intelligence hunting or gathering or threat hunting, right? So you're that guy crawling the dark web, trying to get ingrained with the bad actors, doing all of that deep research to gain all that knowledge to help all of these other roles more effectively do their jobs, right? And then you have forensics and incident response, right? So I work with our forensics and incident response team, and I tell you what, for one, much respect to them because that is a very stressful job, but it's also an extremely rewarding job. Those folks are the cream of the crop. I mean, they are just amazing at what they do, and if there is something that can be found, they find it. So incident response and doing forensics is always really cool. If you don't want to do that, but you're kind of interested in it, there's also the cybercrime investigators, right? If you want to get law enforcement, cybercrime is a very big deal. Or you can look into getting into architecture or consulting, right? So architecture, the people that come in, they're not the ones implementing all those solutions, they're designing everything, right? So I work again, you know, I also work with our architects a lot, and again, some very amazing and very just the things that they think of and come up with is just stunning sometimes, right? But architecture is another area to get into. Then you have government versus commercial. Do you want to try to go for the government sector, or do you want to go for the commercial sector? I started out my first 7 years or so, well, 20 years really, if you include the military time, for government. I left the government side and went to the sector c commercial side, and I've been in the commercial side for the last 8 or 10 years or something. But yeah, figuring out if you want to try one or both of those out. If you're looking to get into cybersecurity and you're not finding that security administrator or specialist role, you can also look at internships. A lot of, for instance, a lot of security vendors do internships, and they do, in fact, hire people out of internships once they graduate. So that's always something to look into. So there are a lot of different roles. You actually, any of the roles I mentioned, you can really start out in an entry level position with those. I just think it's kind of nice for you, the person that doesn't really know much of anything, to start out with administrator or specialist or technician, because that's going to give you a comfortable position to start out with, and a safe position where you still have things you have to do, but you have a lot of wiggle room and a lot of breathing room to learn these things that you need to learn. And the thing about cybersecurity is you don't have to start out knowing all of this, but the more you're in that field, the more you're going to start gaining knowledge about the entire IT world overall, right? All of the infrastructure, all of the different teams, how everybody does things, right? Because that's what's going to make you a good, make is going to make you good at cybersecurity, right? Knowing everything about everybody else's job, and how they implement things and do things, right? But yeah, and then also, secure looking, if you're looking at certificates, as an entry level, you want to look at CompTIA's Security Plus and Network Plus. Some people also get A Plus. That is more hardware focused, but you could definitely get that. It doesn't hurt. But Security Plus and Network Plus are kind of the entry level certificates. Once you've been in the field for a handful of years, you can start looking at CISSP, or you can look at CompTIA's comparable version called CASP. So that's CASP. CISSP requires like a minimum of 5 years in the field. You have to pass the exam, and then you have to get somebody with the CISSP already to sponsor you to say, hey, yeah, this person. It's in fact in the field for this long, they should get their certificate, right? Yeah, and then I always recommend, if you're, again, another thing to do if you're looking to get into the field as entry position, start, YouTube, Udemy, UDEMY, so Udemy or LinkedIn Learning. LinkedIn Learning used to be co owned by lynda.com, Lynda. But they both, all of them have like, I would go look up cybersecurity 101 courses. You'll start learning all things about how to, networking topics, the TCP/IP model, how to use basic things such as subnetting and things like that, or understanding all the different components in an IT infrastructure, all the network edge devices, the storage devices, the AD and DNS, the stuff, DHCP, understanding, what VM, what virtual, what looking, understanding what virtual environments look like, stuff like that. Or, nowadays, how are their on-premise environments working in working along with their cloud solutions, right? If they're using AWS or Azure or Google Cloud, right? So look at cybersecurity one-on-one courses. I would also look at, like some of the basic IT topics I mentioned. Just start listening to different topics. Like if you're going through training and you hear a term or a topic, go research that term and topic individually. Udemy and LinkedIn Learning, YouTube, all that. They also have training courses on Security Plus and Network Plus. That will give you a lot of terminology and things to know about an entry level position as well. There's a guy also, again, what I do a lot of times also is if I hear a topic I'm not familiar with, like how to conduct my own DDoS attack. I saw a video from a guy on YouTube the other day called Network Chuck. I'm not sponsoring him, or I'm not advertising him. It's just somebody I like to listen to on YouTube. Network Chuck, he does a lot of cool different things. Just the other week, he did a video on creating your own DDoS attack to test your website, right? He mentioned HPing 3, Sephira, and then how a website called Build Your Own Botnet. I'm in the shower just listening to that video, right? Just subconsciously picking up that information. Like I said, I hear a topic I'm not familiar with, I go look up a little bit about it. I may not divulge all my time into it, but I'm at least going to get enough knowledge where I can carry on a basic intelligent conversation with somebody, right?
And the whole industry is the crazy part, is like on an exponential growth curve. And that's something that's very like interesting, and I like all these different like Udemy, different courses, different internships that you could get. I really like that information that you put out there. So like, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for that, Eddie. I appreciate that. You're right though, man. This is the our this field is on an exponential learning curve for sure. And I've been doing this I've been in this field specifically for 13 years, and there's not a day that goes by where I don't learn something new. The cool thing about this field is you just have to continuously learn things, right? And there's never a dull moment. I'm always having different experiences and different things to deal with. So if you're looking for a job that is not boring or mundane, the cybersecurity field is the one to get into for sure. And the more people we have in this field, the better, right? The problem about our field is it's undermanned, right? So there's so many people out in that world in the world that could really help this field out a lot.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and it, the growth, the exponential growth part of it is that like it's needed, and there's going to be more and more people that's needed, because it's become we're increasingly living in an internet fashion. We're going to have the Internet of Things. We're going to have everything connected internet. And that's what the blockchain is basically trying to do, is take this money, this financial system, and make it the next level and put it on the internet, make it internet money. So instead of like when you say you can send an email to somebody in China, you don't say you're sending a cross-border email, but if you're sending money there, you're saying you're sending a cross-border payment, you know? So like it'll be interesting to see all these different ways that people will think of to either try to like scam you or try to do whatever, but we need people on the other side to keep people safe, keep people secure, and I think most importantly, like educate them about the different ways that you could get pwned.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Eddie, I'm also writing up a document too, where last week I did an in-depth set of Twitter spaces with like Michael Eisenfeld and Luthiessen and some other people about hardening your operating system too and things like that. Not to, I'm kind of going off on a tangent on what you said, right? But it kind of reminded me, like, and I'm writing up a document on that right now to post on my website as well. So, and that's what I'm trying to do, just really give people all of these tools and basic knowledge sets to put them in a position to better protect themselves, right? And then, yeah, you're right about the field too. Look, another point about cybersecurity, like trying, and if I were to try to sell it to somebody, look, if you want job security, cybersecurity is it, because I might lose my management role next month, but I could turn around and get a job the next day, because there's just so many people out there that need so many of us, right? And we're just not there, right? So there's always opportunities too, right? And then
So, like, what core
core
skills would you
skills
need
would you need
or
or
recommend
recommend
for
for
somebody getting
somebody
into
getting
the
into the
field?
field? I would I, I It's, you know, I guess core skills I would say are one, knowing just basic level networking, right? Because it's important to know to understand network flow. Know what the TCP/IP model is, know how to subnet. I mean, I don't use subnetting in CIDRs every day of my life, but I have that background knowledge to just subconsciously help me, right? I understand if an IP is in a certain range or not without even thinking about it. Knowing basic networking topics like that, right, would be the very first thing. Knowing, the different layers of communication in an environment, right? So the TCP/IP model. Also, just knowing the different pieces of an environment, right? Knowing, like I was saying earlier, understanding not how to use or create or manage Active Directory or DNS, but just understand what AD and DNS are and what they're doing. Understand what companies do for their storage. Knowing, securing their company's sensitive data. That's another role you could get into, data loss prevention. Knowing what firewalls are, knowing the difference between a host firewall and a network edge firewall. What different things are they going to do? Knowing what an inline IPS is, right? So if I have a firewall, but I also have IPS, what is the difference there? Knowing, other basic topics, like I said earlier, what is DHCP? How to manage IPs in an environment. Let's see what else. Knowing, maybe start familiarizing yourself with current threats out there. Another suggestion I give the people too is, start going out there and looking at these major security vendors and see what solutions and products they sell, right? Then you can look those up, and those will be things, you may not want to know their product, but it'll, if the Bob sells an IPS, go look up what IPSs are. Or if they sell a centralized logging solution like Splunk, go look up what Splunk is and then start understanding what logging solutions are. Understand what a SOC is, a security operations center, right? So I guess in short, in summary, learn, understand the basics of networking, understand the things that people are going to do in a network and an IT network, right? Things like that, and knowing kind of the what people are doing to protect against current threats, right? So those are three broad topics I would suggest starting out with. And if anybody's listening to that and you're like, well, I don't actually know where to start still, let me know and I'll give you some things to start off with. And when you're done with those, I'll give you some more. But yeah, and just going to those training sites like Udemy and LinkedIn Learning and YouTube and just look up cybersecurity intro or stuff like that, and just start off with that and then pick key terms out of that to go learn more about those, right? But again, knowing the basics of networking, knowing the basics of how a computer works, knowing the basics of what people are going to have in their network, and then kind of knowing the basics of what security solutions and products are out there to give you key terms to go research and stuff, right? Abderman, I see you requested a hop up. I'm going to let allow you up. I'm not sure if you're who you are, but here we go. Can you hear us?
Hello, yes, thank you very much for your valuable information. And yeah, as you said that for security, I think in my opinion that it's very stressful work for me. I think that so I was working in networking for 4 years, and 5 years as a maintenance support. So now I'm working as a VMware administrator and system administrator and stuff like that. So Getting in the cybersecurity world is very, very, in my opinion, is very stressful. But I think there is a good way to work as a security and learn programming, because programming is make your work very easy. For example, if you want to make something that is you do something in your work every day. If you can make it in Python or in PowerShell, it's gonna be very easy. Also, there is a lot of security tools that use programming languages in Python and PowerShell and these languages. So I think, yeah, it's just my opinion that cybersecurity is go very well with programming. And thank you very much for your valuable information.
Abner, I appreciate you sharing that sentiment and your thoughts. I really do. And you're absolutely right, actually. And to answer Eddie's question a little bit more, but you're right, Abner. Like learning Python or PowerShell, scripting languages are very useful in cybersecurity. And just being completely honest, I know a lot of people in cybersecurity that do not know scripting languages at all. So if you knew PowerShell or Python or something, you could find a lot of good fits. You could find a lot of, you could be very beneficial to a lot of different roles in cybersecurity. But you're also right, Abderman, where cybersecurity is surely a stressful job. But it's, yeah, I th it's all very manageable, and I think it's very rewarding. I mean, the things I've gotten to do and seen and be a part of is just amazing. I would have never thought I would have been able to be a part of something like this in my life. Also, not only just PowerShell or Python, but another thing to look at if you're looking to get into cybersecurity would be cloud solutions, right? If you know AWS or Amazon Web Services, or if you know Azure Cloud, Microsoft Azure, or if you know Google Cloud, a lot of things are going that way now. A lot of companies are hosting their stuff in those for using those cloud solutions, and to some degree, usually they kind of have a hybrid model where they have some on-premise stuff in their own environment, and they have some things up in a cloud solution. So knowing VMware, or knowing different virtualized environments, knowing hypervisors and stuff, or knowing cloud solutions, or knowing a scripting language will immensely help you out getting into this space for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You are right. You are right.
Well, Abderman, if you want to like ever be in other conversations and stuff, follow if you see Holy Mac if you can see Holy Macaroni on this Twitter space, that's my main account. Epochsec.io is just where I create my Twitter spaces from, but if you follow Holy Macaroni, we could definitely have more conversations and stuff, and it'd be great to hear more from you. Oracle, I see you hopped up in here. I was going to close the tour space up here in a minute, but if Oracle, if you want to request to speak, or if you have anything to bring up or share or ask or anything security related, please do. I'll give you a minute to decide if you want to do that or not. But while we're waiting to see if Oracle has anything, Eddie or Abderman, do you guys have anything else?
I'm good on my end. I just appreciate you in these spaces. Keep it up. The stuff is needed, and you really have some really valuable information to share. So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, thanks, Eddie. And it's not, I say this a lot, it's not a glamorous thing, but it's something I'm willing to do to help people. But look, likewise, it is extremely appreciated that people like you guys join and facilitate along with the conversation. Because people like you will bring up good topics that I didn't consider talking about, or you have knowledge that I don't have, right? So it's really appreciated and helpful to everybody that you guys join. And like I said, I have a few different people join every Twitter space, and I can assure you people do listen to the recordings, people do read the documents, and I take feedback I hear from the conversations with folks like you, and I incorporate them into other Twitter spaces or other documents, and people do get a lot of value out of it. So you all are just as helpful, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you very much. Very, very great information. Thank you very much, Rod.
Thank you, man. Yeah, Oracle, I didn't see you hopped up yet or not. Sorry that I'm closing the space up, but if you, Oracle, if you did have anything, you joined the space because you had something specific, just go ahead and ping me, and we can have a conversation if you want to, man. Or lady, I'm not assuming you're a man. My apologies, but yeah, reach out to me if you have anything, Oracle, and you other guys too, Eddie or Abner. If you guys have anything, just let me know. But yeah, I hope everybody has a wonderful Sunday, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.